Praise God. Well, this service this morning kind of reminded me, and some years ago, Mary and I were in Huntsville, Alabama, and getting ready to preach. And we were there, and God was doing some marvelous things, and the pastor played keyboard, and so he was on the keyboard playing, and he got to a point. I had been there before. He always came out, announced us, and all of that thing. That morning he sat on the keyboard and looked at me and said, "You're on." So we got up and prophesied a little bit and sat down. He said, "Well, I guess they're just too tired to preach this morning, so let's go." And so we did a couple of other things, but God is good. Amen? Yes, he is. Hallelujah. God has given Barry and I an assignment. I believe we all have an assignment from the Father. And God spoke to us several years ago and said, "You're to carry revival everywhere you go." And so my whole assignment this morning is to come in here and try my best with the anointing of the Holy Spirit to stir you up.
Yes, amen.
So you can be about the Father's business. It's not enough just for one or two of us to try to do what God wants done. He needs all of us to be involved in what He's got laid out to happen in the church today.
Amen.
One of the things that I see in this revival, as I've been praying and studying along in this line, and I believe that you fit into that category, is that this revival, although virtually all of the moves of God up until this time has come through the laity. They get sick and tired of being sick and tired, and they begin to seek God, and that's the reason you got so many churches around the countryside, is because somebody got sick and tired and sought the Lord. And the Lord began to move in them, and suddenly they became the next answer to whatever was needful they felt like. They really weren't the answer, but they felt like they were. And so the next thing you know, you've got little churches popping up all over the countryside because the people wanting to see something happen so desperately in this area. One of the things that amazes us as we travel is that the number of cowboy churches that are popping up all over the countryside. There was a little Baptist church in our neighborhood where we live in Temple, and one of the ladies talked to my daughter, and she said, "You think your mother and dad would come and preach for us?" And my daughter told her we were busy. I have since give my daughter a thrashing about that, because I'm never too busy to go somewhere and preach, amen, in that area. But my daughter said, "If you go there, they'll be hanging around your house all day long." That's what the body of Christ is about, you know it. We hang out together. We get things done together. We do what God wants done in that area. Anyway, just a couple, 3 weeks later, I guess it was, that little church went up for sale. Now, when it was a Baptist church, there just wasn't hardly anybody attending. And the next thing we know, we drive by it on the way to our house, and it's got a new sign up and says, "Cowboy Church." New Covenant Cowboy Church. And lo and behold, we go to our church on Sunday morning, we pass that church, and they are growing pickup trucks like it's going out of style. You know, I mean, just all over the place. And we see a number of people. I've been by there a couple of times when there were young ladies out riding horses in the parking lot. You know, in that area, you say, "Well, I don't believe that's scriptural. Give me a chapter and verse." One thing I learned in the Baptist church many years ago, if you're going to knock something, give me chapter and verse for it. If you're going to do something, give me chapter and verse for it. And if you can't, keep your mouth shut. Amen?
Amen?
Revival, this one, I believe, must start with leadership. It must come through the ministry that God has ordained and set in this place. And when I sat down this morning, as praise and worship was going on, I didn't know if any of you were going to come. I mean, the musicians were the only thing I saw, and there was just three or four other people here, and I thought, my Lord, where are all these folks? I know you're in a transition period, because I drove in the parking lot this morning, and the building next door is in shambles. I know, I don't know what's happened, but there is a change going on. Amen? I don't know where you guys prayed for it to go down or just what or what not. Maybe even you own it and it's been destroyed. We were at a lady in the church I pastored at one time, and she had two observations. First of all, she wanted to know why I was called to preach. And she came up with an observation there. She said, after all, you just work 1 hour on Sunday, and that's all there is to it. You just work that 1 hour on Sunday, and you're free the rest of your time. And then she passed one of those palmist places, and she prayed for it. And she said, Lord, I cursed that thing, and it burned to the ground. Next day she drove back by, and that sucker was burned to the ground. So you got to kind of watch when these buildings start falling down and burn to the ground. Somebody may be cursing it and bring it out. You know, we have more power and authority than we realize.
Amen.
We stand around and look and say, oh, God, would you do something? I've got some good news for you. God's already done everything he's going to do. Now it's up to us to do what the Father has left to be done in this time. I believe that we're in the very throes of the greatest revival the Church of the Living God's ever seen.
Amen.
I believe that people are starting to come back. In our meetings, we're having people who have been backsliders, who've gotten away from God. Say, I don't even believe in backsliding. Good. I pray for you that you will remain faithful. But we've seen people like that come into the church. Two Sundays ago, Mary and I was preaching at a little church in our town there and filling in for a young man. And we finished. I finished. Mary got up and added a few comments. And she said, some of these folks need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So I opened the altar. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Guy in the back of the church jumped up and ran down there. And, you know, he almost broke my ministerial way that I operate, hallelujah. You know, after all, I'm the minister. I'm supposed to tell him what to do, what he's got to do to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I start to talk to him, and he's gone off into tongues. No respect at all. Yeah. And I thought, praise God, this is what ought to happen. You know, instead of us sitting around trying to convince everybody that what we're saying is true, it ought to be so true that they cannot stop it from flowing.
Amen.
In that area. Leviticus 11, 44 and 45 says, I am the Lord your God. Is he the Lord your God? Question one. Therefore, he says, consecrate yourself. Most of the Church of the Living God this day and time is not a consecrated group. I mean, we get more consecration out of the Elks Club than we do in most churches this day and time. I mean, and I'm, you know, I'm concerned. I travel all the time, Mary and I do, and I'm concerned about this because I hear more pop psychology coming across the pulpit than anointing of the Holy Ghost. One thing I, most of you are not old enough to know who Catherine Kuhlman was, but one thing I appreciated about Miss Kuhlman was a fantastic lady of God. You know, she didn't do like we do. I mean, she came out, Dino played that piano, got them into the mood for what she was going to say. She did preach some, but she came out in that chiffon dress. And she spun and she went, you know, all over the place and just just really, for most of us Pentecostals, we thought it was just a show. But I want you to know, when she quit spinning, things begin to happen. And the Pentecostals couldn't put a cap on it. You know, it's not God. It was God. You know, and we've all got our methods of doing things. You got probably the greatest teaching meeting in this place that there is in this city. You know, and nobody teaches the Word of God like your pastors do in this place. But I want you to understand one thing. Although they teach it, they can't do it all themselves. Amen. They need your help to get a job done for God, to set your fields on fire. You know, most of us are kind of like the children of Israel. They got delivered out of Egypt. But they found out that Egypt wasn't delivered out of them. You know, we want to do what we want to do. Oh, how can I bring that, Lord? We want to do what we want to do and still be God's man of faith and power. Let me tell you something. To be God or a woman's, God's man or woman of power, you're going to have to spend time with Him. You cannot just fly it in here and say, this is it. Say, you're being mean this morning. You know, I care. I really do. I don't intend to be mean. But this is so hard on me now. Till I've got to get it out. I've got to stir you somehow, some way. I've got to stir the people that we minister to begin to do what God says, not what they want to do, not how they've been taught or anything like that, but get in the Word of God and begin to do what God says.
Yes, amen.
I believe we're rising at a place. Some years ago, I was preaching, doing a healing session in the church I was pastoring, doing it on Sunday evening. And I got up that Sunday afternoon after the morning service, and I was praying back in my bedroom, and the Lord gave me a set of scriptures and said, you go with these. You know, the Lord does me like that quite often. I've already got my program set up, and He destroys it, you know, by speaking to me. I told Him one time, I said, I think I'll just quit talking to you. You're going to do me like this, you know. But I read that scripture out of Acts 1 and said, O Theophilus, these things He began to do and teach. He said, when you go tonight, instead of teaching, I want you to do and then teach. And so I went that night. We had about 25 or 30 people there, I guess. I went that night and read that scripture, and I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do the stuff. And then I'll teach you what you did. And we gave the altar call, and there was a lady there that we had brought back from Mexico. She and her husband had gone down as missionaries, and she got real sick and had to come back from Mexico, and they brought her back. And she was pregnant with a child, but there was also a tumor there that was growing faster than the fetus. And so we just began to pray and lay hands on them. Had about 9 or 10 people come. God healed every one of them. Got to her, prayed for her, cursed that tumor and told it to die. She went to the hospital the next morning, doctor the next morning. They examined her, ran whatever that thing is they run, and they couldn't find the tumor. I'm getting to a point. I know you don't think I am, but I'm getting to a point. The point is that if you're witnessing to someone, they don't need an exegesis of the Scriptures. They need to know, meeting Jesus Christ in your life, what did it do for you? How did it change you? Some years ago, after getting saved, getting the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I was attending a church, actually on staff of a church in Shreveport, Louisiana, and I was also working for the government, and the guy that I worked with was a real nice family, nice guy. You know, at that time I wasn't as outgoing as I am now. You know, I'll talk to anybody or everybody about Jesus. You know, I used to say, if you drop your hat, I'll talk to you. It don't matter where you drop it or not, I'm going to talk to you anyway. You know, if you stand still where I can. So I invited this guy. We had a meeting going on. Brother Brown had brought in a deep sea diver from Longview, Washington. I'll never forget that guy as long as I live. You know, he only knew three scriptures. But I want you, he was kind of like Miss Kuhlman. He'd do those three scriptures and preach a little bit, give the altar call, and then things begin to happen. Man, things that were unbelievable, some of it, you know, in that stuff. He laid hands on a girl whose teeth were rotten. Young teenager, 17 years old. He laid hands on her, and God gave her a brand new set of teeth. We had one lady in that service in the church, a older person, who had false teeth, but they were problems. She couldn't keep them in her mouth much. He prayed for her. God, I don't know why he didn't give her a full set of teeth, but he just tightened up the false teeth where she had trouble getting them out of her mouth. You know, who can explain what God does? God has... Pastor said this morning, God does it His way. He's going to bring it about in His way. Those loved ones that you have that you're concerned about, don't give up. Continue to pray for them and lean on the strong arm of God that you'll see them begin to flow in to the kingdom of God. You know, I believe, and I'm talking about what I believe this morning, I believe that we're at the end of the greasy grace. Sloppy agape. Prosperity without responsibility. You know, Job was a wealthy man, a man of God. But God allowed the devil to pick on him a little bit. But the whole thing is, we talk about what Job went through. But you know, after that 9 to 11 months, according to whichever theologian you want to believe, Job came out of that thing with twice as much as he had going in. You see, we may be going through some things, but let me tell you, when you come through it with God on your side, you're going to have twice as much as you had when you went in, if you stay with God. You know, God is love. He's not sloppy agape. Real love at times has to be tough love. You know, you have to tell it like it is. You know, sin has a payday. Don't shout me down when I'm doing real good. You know, sin does have a payday. You know, and it's, you know, it's for by grace are we saved through faith. You know, it's not of ourselves, not something we did. But God moves on the scene. And we get it, son. I like to think of myself as a soul winner. You know, and when we first got started in the ministry years ago, having come out of the Baptist church, we were all had notches on our belt. You know, some of you are laughing. You remember those days, don't you? This is how many we've won, praise God. And then the Lord spoke to me. Again, I was in prayer. The Lord spoke to me and He said, "You haven't won any." I said, "But Lord, what about so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so?" He said, "My word says one plants, another waters, and God gives the increase." So if it's anything done, God does it. It's not something we do. We have a part. We have our part that we're supposed to do in this revival as sharing the good news with people that we come in contact. But God will bring about a completion of that work in their lives. Amen? And you begin to see God move. It's strange how He moves. We never look at a situation like we should, I'm sure. The Word says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. and behold, all things have come new. Isn't it amazing how we come and become Christians and we read that scripture and we say, well, all this stuff's going to pass away. Let me share this with you. Jesus Christ doesn't save your physical being. The real you on the inside is a spiritual man. And that's the one that's converted, not this. You know, if God tarries another 10 years, I'll look a little more wrinkled than I look now. But my spiritual man will be a dynamo. Amen. Because I haven't allowed him to do anything but what God says. You know, what does the Word say? See, it's your spiritual man that's the real you. All this other, you know, we have a body, we have a soul, we live in a body, but we are spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And, hallelujah. You know, I've counted now, I've got four going with me. So I've got to get two more before I quit. So two of you better get on the ball here so I can turn Mary loose. We've had a miracle in her family. She just has one brother. And again, I'm about to get in sacred territory, but let me do it. He has been difficult, if that's a good word. I can think of many other adjectives I could add to that, but I'm going to stick with difficult. It's her only brother. She loves that scoundrel. If my brother, I've got an only brother. If my brother had said things to me and did things to me that he's done to her, if I couldn't kick him, I'd do something else. I sure wouldn't put myself in that position. But she keeps loving him and keeps sending him gifts and stuff like that. And she makes me mad doing it. You know, said, this is stupid. And if she calls on the telephone and he sees it's our number, he won't answer it. We prayed 3 weeks ago, I guess it was, wasn't it, babe? 3 weeks ago. She said, Lord, he's the only brother I got. My mother and dad's gone. We're the family. Lord, I need to talk to him and just tell him I love him. She picked up the telephone. I started to tell her, why do you praise yourself? You know what this idiot's going to do. You know what he's going to say. You know how he's going to act. She dialed the number anyhow. She perseveres. She dialed the number anyway. It rang. He normally won't even answer it. But he answered the phone. And they talked for 30 minutes on the telephone. Now, that may not do much for you, but for my bride, it meant all of the world to her. All of the world to her. If he never talks to her again, I think she'll be all right. She was going to be all right anyway, but I mean, that is a fulfillment of a desire of her heart. You see, we have a God who's concerned about what we desire. What do we desire? Now, there, praise God. Let me encourage you, number one, to set aside your agenda. You know, we've all got agendas, haven't we not? Well, I don't have an agenda. Well, you probably lie about other things too, because we've all got things we want to happen in that area. But what about what God wants to do? I used to be in full gospel business men many years ago, and had a guy that came. I was one of the officers. Had a guy every service he came. Brother, would you pray? I've got this idea. He had a different idea every month. You know. Finally, I stopped him. I said, Bob, why don't you pray? You find out what. Go back and pray and try to change God's mind. You know, you don't need to fool with trying to change God's mind. If his mind is made up, forget it. You're wasting your time.
Right.
And gaining an awful lot of frustration. But anyway, my board came to me and they said, how much money would it take to get you to stay? I said, you don't understand. It's not about money. It's about assignment. What is your assignment? And one of the things I want to close with before I turn Mary loose on you is that I believe that all of us have an assignment. What is your assignment? Have you dealt with that? Have you prayed and asked God what you're saying? Lord, what do you want me to do? You see, it's important that you know what God wants you to do. And I believe that we're arriving at a place that revival is beginning to happen throughout the country. When the Brownsville Assembly revival was going on in Pensacola, Florida, a group of us went down. And they told us going in, they said, now, and this was not the pastor of the church. There's another pastor in town who we had fellowship with. He said, now when you go there, he said, understand this. There are three things that you're going to notice in this meeting. He said, number one, they will receive offerings, but they will tell you in no uncertain terms that if this is tithe, it goes to your local church. It does not belong to this revival. Now, if you're giving a gift, they will receive it towards your revival, but they're not going to push and take your tithe, which belongs to your local church. He said, number two, they will pray for you, and you might be prayed for by Episcopalian and caught by Methodist, because there's too many people. This church could not handle what God was doing. And let me tell you, when this revival comes into being, churches across this land will not be able to handle what God is doing. You see, God doesn't do a little piddly thing out here and a little piddly thing over there. God, when He breaks out, He breaks out. He's God. Amen? He makes it work in that area. And there I was being prayed for. I don't know if he's Episcopalian or not, but he didn't look like one of them. And I was caught by a Methodist. I found out who he was later. You know, they're very capable of catching you also if you're working in that area. And we stood in line the first night to get in that revival. We stood in line 3 hours. The next night we were back, which was our last night there because we had to fly back home. I stood in line 6 hours. And did not get in the main sanctuary. We had us in a room with a big television. And when they began to pray, they brought us all down into the sanctuary, big sanctuary. Let me tell you something. God was so amazing to me. That was a 1,000-member Assembly of God church that thing broke out in. And God, our leader, literally destroyed all their programs. You know, they had an Al-Anon, the leader, you know, for the alcoholics and all of these things. They had, you know, and all the counseling, things like that. And when God moved, all that went out the window. And the God of our mercy began to minister. And they didn't have time to do a lot of counseling. You see, I'm not against counseling. I am a counselor, but the whole thing was it didn't have to go that route. And they went 6.5 years, had over 1.5 million people saved in that thing. Over 1.5 million people saved.
Praise God.
I don't know. Praise it was God. Well over 200,000 people healed. And I'm amazed, you know. Matter of fact, the guy who's preaching when that revival broke out is pastoring in this area right now, Steve Hill. Steve Hill's a good preacher. But I've run with Hilton Sutton and Charlie Rogers and several others who are better preachers than Steve Hill. But they hadn't had that breakout. You know what? God doesn't tell us when it's going to happen. We have to stay locked into Him.
Amen.
To see what's going to happen. I think, you know, He said that no man knoweth the hour or the day when He'll return. I believe that's scriptural. I believe that none of us know the hour or the day when revival will break out in our country. And I'm believing it. Mary and I pray every morning, Father, give us revival in the U.S. Give us revival in Mexico. Give us revival in Israel. We want to see all three of these nations You've assigned to us begin to receive the gospel of grace. Oh, hallelujah. Let me encourage you. Come on and say your goodbyes.
If I just lay it up here, it'll be okay. Before we get off that subject and what's going on right now with Israel, and we need to remember our president in prayer. There was a prophecy that came through an African brother on television on, I don't know how many of you may have seen that, on Sid Roth. He had an African brother on there that had a dream or vision, and he saw that Obama would be elected both terms. And in his dream, he met him. Excuse us. And God spoke to him that he would be elected both terms. But God also showed him that in the last half of his second term, which we're getting close to that, we're not quite there. I think we're about a month or so away from it. That there would be a change in him, that he would do a 180 and he would change. And this is the time that he needs to change. He needs to stand up and unite with Israel. He needs to change some of his precepts and his concepts. The man did exhort us. He said, this will come about only by prayer. So today I want to exhort you to pray for our president and don't have opinions about what you think about him or who you think he is or what he is or what he's done. But start breaking all the curses that have been spoken over him and say with me that he is going to change, that he is going to do that which is right. I believe there's a seed in his heart that God has put there. And I've been praying and interceding and asking God to speak to him in a dream or a vision. And God did that to unbelievers. Now, Obama, about the time that he got elected or was elected, when we were up north, we saw it one time. And we had never found out anybody else that saw it. But it was on TV. And he did confess that he was a believer and that he knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I believe that was a good confession. Only God knows the man's heart. And let me tell you something. He's in over his head. Amen. And we need to lift him up. Any man that is in that position at this time is in over his head. Because there are so many things that are happening. So let's don't criticize our leadership. Let's pray for him. He needs prayer. Amen. He needs prayer. And so, Father, we lift up Obama right now to you. God, he's the man that you put and you allowed to be put into leadership in America at this time. And God, our eyes have been opened in many areas, and we've seen many things that we would have never seen otherwise. But God, we thank you that you can change and turn this man's heart around, that you can draw him by the Spirit, and that you can speak to him in a dream or vision, and you can get his attention. And Father, we agree as a congregation that God, he is going to turn and he is going to stand with Israel in this crucial hour. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
I'm not going to keep you long, but you know, all this week, and God is saying the same thing everywhere. And have you ever learned or noticed that the Holy Spirit has a rhythm in what he does? He has a rhythm. And if people are hearing from God, you'll see the rhythm of the Holy Spirit working through God's people and lacing together what God is going to do. And pastor's already said that God doesn't do anything that he doesn't tell us when he's going to do it. He alerts us, and that's basically what Bill and I are doing today, is we're alerting you, and we're trying to stir you up and exhort you and to warn you of things to come and confirm to you some things that God is doing right now in this present hour. And what I'm going to read, just a couple of verses of Scripture, and if you want to be in on this revival that God's about to do. We were up in Oklahoma not too long ago at a campground, and God spoke these three things to me, and I'm going to share those with you. But first, I want to share a scripture, and you can turn there in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and verse 7. And bear with me. What I'm speaking to you about this morning, I've experienced firsthand in some areas. And I want you to write down what I'm going to tell you, because you need to remember what I'm going to tell you this morning. Two things that the enemy is bringing against the body of Christ. Number one is fear.
Amen.
God spoke to me that 80% of the body of Christ is walking in fear. And so be aware of that and don't receive that. And number two, he has brought into the body of Christ, and I've told this several times, and I may have told it here, but it bears worth repeating. A lot of God's children are succumbing to Alzheimer's, and that's another thing that's been assigned to the body of believers. And I keep asking God, why do people come to church sick and leave sick? You know, why do people come to meetings sick and leave sick? And that speaks to us. We have to do something about where we are to get where God wants us. So I want to read in Timothy, and I may ask Brother Jim to come up and read that in the King James. But I know about fear firsthand. Ever since I was a small child, the enemy tried to kill me with fear. And just recently, I had a bout with my sight, which Bill and I have not told too many people, and the enemy has tried twice to take my sight through Bell's palsy and shingles and through some blood vessels breaking in my head. But I want you to know something. God is faithful. And he began to speak to me. He said, Mary, if you want healing, you've asked me for it, and Jesus paid the price for it. And he says, how you get what you want from God. And listen to this. This is a word of wisdom from God. If you want to get your healing, if you want to get your victory, you begin to praise God and thank him. And I thank God every day for healing my eyes. And I thank him every day for healing my feet. And the things that I have need of, I thank him for it after I prayed for it. Once you prayed for it, and begin to thank God for it. We've seen some miraculous healings in our children when after we prayed, we begin to praise God, and then the tide turned. And we're going to praise God that our president is going to turn around, and he's going to turn to godliness, and he's going to turn around and be a different president. And I believe that he is going to do that. Okay, in 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, the first chapter and the sixth verse.
2 Timothy or 1?
It's 2 Timothy and the first chapter. I'm going to talk to you about stirring up the gift, just a little bit. I'm going to talk to you about stirring up the gift. That is why I would remind you to stir up and rekindle the embers. Fan the flame and keep burning the gracious gift of God. I'm reading out the Amplified. The inner fire that is in you. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy and telling Timothy, stir up what I've taught you. And then this morning I want to talk to you about stirring up what this pastor has taught you. Because it's not going to be many days hence that you're going to need the Word of God that this pastor has taught you.
Amen.
And so you need to begin to stir that up in you. And also, he told him in the first Timothy to guard the deposit that was put in him. You need to guard that Word that God has put in you through this pastor and through the Holy Spirit. Guard that Word. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, I have, that I would have died if I had not had the Word of God inside of me? And I spoke it out, and because of that, I'm standing before you today. And so you need to guard that deposit that has been put in you. It's sacred. The Holy Ghost of God is in you, And he's sacred in you. And so guard the Word of God inside of you so that on the day that you need it, you'll have it. You may come out on someone, and I'm not going to go into that experience, but you may come upon someone in an accident. You may come upon someone that you'll never see again. And you may be the last person that they see before they go out of this life. And you need to allow that Holy Spirit to be sensitive in you so that you can speak that word of life to them. And I've had that experience, that the last person they were going to hear from was going to be me. And that's a real eerie feeling when you know that you're responsible before they go out of this life. And so you need to guard the Word of God inside of you and do not allow a lot of trash to come inside of you from the outside world. Bill and I just recently realized I love old Westerns, cowboy movies. I love them. But God has begun to deal with Bill and I recently about our television watching. And although I don't think of that as garbage, I'm not putting good things in there. Do you understand what I'm saying? And unless you put more of God in you than you do of the world, you get off balance. And so you need to guard yourself against the things of this life. You need to start to teach your spirit and discipline your spirit. Okay. And I'm going to go on down and read the next verse. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, of cowardness, or craving, or cringing, or fawning fear, but he has given us a spirit of power. And I noticed the speaker was saying a spirit of love and power, but the power came first. We don't have the love if we don't get the power first. If we don't have the Holy Spirit working in and through us, we don't have the love we ought to have, do we? If you're out of love, you're out of Jesus. Amen. And the way you get Jesus inside of you is that you pray in the Holy Ghost. And you get in the Word of God and find out about who Jesus is and what he did. And then you listen to the Word through your pastors and you grow in that and you grow in love. So he has not given up, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and calm and well-balanced mind and discipline and self-control. And the other Bible says, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. And body of Christ, we need to begin to confess out loud that we have a sound mind, that we have a well-balanced mind, that we have the Spirit of God flowing in us, and we need to discipline ourselves. And when I'm going to tell you, I told you that we were up in Oklahoma, and Bill was speaking on some of the things that he spoke on this morning. And I want to ask you a question this morning. Do you want to be a part of the revival that has already begun? And I want to ask you another question. If you want to be a part of it, do you feel the Spirit of God in a different way, in a greater way than you felt it before? Amen. Do you? Do you feel a stirring and a drawing like you've never felt before? God is doing something in the hearts of men and women everywhere. And he's drawing them by his spirit. And I want you to write these three things down because they'll be valuable to you in the days ahead. Because when revival comes, God said, Mary, these are three things that need to happen to the body of Christ. They need to love, the number one is they need to love God more than they love themselves.
Amen.
And you know what? I can truthfully say, I don't love God more than I love myself. I want to. I want to love God more than I love myself. And I want to deny my flesh and give myself more wholly to God. But, you know, let's face it, our flesh is predominant in a lot of areas. So that's number one. To be a part of what God is doing in these last days, you need to love God more than you love yourself.
Amen.
And that's a good question to ask yourself. And number two, you have to recognize in this new revival that is coming. And like I said, that's the reason I asked you to write down. This is going to be important to you. You may think it's just words, but the Holy Spirit of God spoke this to me. You have to recognize what change is of God. What change is of God? You have to recognize that. Now, In times past, when God has moved, what has happened? Huh? Well, yeah, but what happens? What happens when God begins to move in a mighty way? The enemy always comes to counteract and bring falsehoods and bring false teachings and bring false things. So you're going to have to be in a place, this is why I told you, to guard that deposit inside of you.
Amen.
And that word inside of you. Because you're going to have to be in a place that you're going to recognize what is God and what's not God.
Amen.
And in case you don't realize it, the Holy Spirit is the best friend you have.
Amen.
Because he will warn you and alert you of things that are not right. People can say the right thing and do the right thing, but you'll just know by the Spirit something is not right. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to recognize what change is of God, because there will be, and this is scriptural, I don't have time to go in the Bible and pull out all the scriptures, but there will be many falsehoods and false prophets in the last days that are going to come and try to counterfeit the move of God. And every move of God that we've had, man has gotten away and has stopped it, hadn't he?
Amen.
But this is the last move. I truly believe this is the last wave of the Holy Spirit. This is the last big wave of the Holy Spirit. And you said something that's so dear to my heart. We are the most blessed generation that has ever lived on the face of this earth. You know why? Most of us are going to be here when the Lord comes back for His church.
Amen.
And I had a promise from the Lord that I would be here and I would see revival. I had that prophetic word. And so I held on to that. Just recently when the enemy attacked me and everything, I held on to that word. God, You said that I'd see revival in America. You said that, and that I could be here when You came again, when Jesus came again. And He spoke that prophetic word to me through somebody else that didn't even know I'd prayed that. And so I have hung on to that. Twice the enemy has had to try to take my life. And number three is this. Ask God, and this is very, very, very important. We've seen in these last days a lot of people that have left this earth. We've seen a lot of people, and we didn't understand it. And I feel like that the Lord put a nugget in my heart. And in saying this, I'm not critical of anybody. But if you're going to be a part of what God's doing in these last days, number three is you need to ask God to let you be on the cutting edge of what He's doing. And when I say the cutting edge, you have to recognize, I've already said that, you have to recognize what is God. Because this revival and what God is going to do is not going to be anything like what the other things that we've seen. Reason being is that man has gotten involved and messed it up. But you've already heard your pastor say, when God is determined to do something, He's going to do it. And if we don't get out of the way, he'll use stones. And I'm going to read you one last scripture and kind of tell you where I feel like we are. And this is in Isaiah, the 59th chapter and the 15th verse. And this sounds like where we are. Yes, truth is liking, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. And I had to read that three or four times in the Amplified, and it doesn't say that in the King James. I know it doesn't. But if you, I thought, he who departs from evil makes himself a prey? Yes, if you depart from evil, you become a prey to Satan. He wants you back. You know, he's gonna try everything he can to knock you out. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no justice. And he saw that there was no man, or wondered that there was no intercessor, no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Does that describe where we are today? And many of us don't have time to intercede and pray. But God has really dealt with me. I used to get up in the wee hours of the morning and intercede. And I used to pray more than I pray now, and I pray a lot. But the Lord has begun to deal with me about interceding more. How many of you out there feel like that you have the ministry of intercession, or that you have, God's dealt with you about being an intercessor? Well, I want to tell you, get with the program. Now's the time, as never before, to start interceding.
Amen.
So do that. that there was no one to intervene on behalf of truth and right. Therefore, his own arm brought him victory, and his righteousness, having the Spirit without measure, sustained him. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you, and we praise you, Lord God, for the revival that is already here. God, I already feel revival. When I lift my hands, I feel revival, Lord God. I feel it, and it's in my spirit, Lord God. And Father, I know that you're desiring that your chosen people, those that have the Spirit of God within them, God, that they would cry out to you and that they would draw closer to you, Lord God. Father, we pray over this people, Lord, that they not one of them would be a prey to the enemy. Lord, as they draw close to you, you said that you would draw close to them, that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God would raise a standard up against the enemy. And so, Father, I thank you that you raise the standard of your word up inside of these people, that not any of them would be bewitched or fooled by the tricks of the enemy, Lord God. And, Father, that the Spirit of God would be strong inside of them, that they would recognize what is God and what is not God. And, Father, they've had the Word of God deposited in them in this place. Father, Brother Bill said that there would be no more sloppy agape and that there would not be any more of this just any old thing. God, you are calling us to commitment. God, you're calling us to a disciplined life. Amen. And so, Father, you speak to each one that's under the sound of my voice. You speak to them by the Spirit. It doesn't matter how many words I speak. If the Spirit of the Lord doesn't speak to them and doesn't show them, it won't do good. And Lord, we've come as apostle prophet to warn them of what's ahead, Lord God. And it's not a bad thing, it's a good thing. But God is telling us to be prepared, to keep our wicks trimmed and our lamps full of oil, Lord God. And so, Lord, we thank you, Lord, that this people will hear the voice of the Lord, that they'll hear their pastor. And, Father, the pastor wouldn't say this, but I can say this. Lord, help them to get to church on time. Help them to be so excited, Lord, that they're afraid they're going to miss something, Lord God. Father, we would not go to our work late because we'd get fired and we wouldn't have any money. We'd be discharged. And, Father, we should treat you with utmost respect, far more than anyone else. We would not be late for an appointment. We would not be late for a dinner appointment. And so, Lord, let us treat you with the same respect that we treat our brothers and sisters. And, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise for what you're doing all over this land. And, God, we thank you that we're the generation that's going to usher in the coming of the Lord. And we're going to be a part of that, Lord God, in Jesus' name. And I want to tell you this, that Brother Bill and I are not the only one that's preaching this. We're not. That was all we heard at our convocation. It was stirring up, and our final night speaker was crying because he had such a burden for souls. And I want you to begin. Let's pray right now. Father, we agree that this people, and Bill and I, and Pastor, all of us will get a burden for the lost like we've never had it before. Lord, open our spirit man and pour it in. Lord, let us be hungry and thirsty for you, Lord God, and hungry and thirsty to see people won to the Lord. Help us to remember how excited we were when we first came to you, Lord God. And Father, stir these people by the Holy Spirit of God. Stir these people, Lord God. Make them bold as a lion.
Yes.
Make them bold as a lion, Lord God, and meek as a dove. In Jesus' name, we ask it and we pray. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Pastor.
Yeah.